This is episode 65 of the Business Growth Podcast. Today I'm talking with Adam Hudson. Adam is a serial entrepreneur, and currently what he's working on is building up his Amazon business. Now what that means is Adam is able to go out and find manufacturers and create his own product lines and sell them on the Amazon platform. He's doing it so well that it's a multi-million dollar business for him. In our conversation today, we're going to be talking about that business and how people can get on the Amazon platform and pick the right products, work with the correct manufacturers, and have a process that works for them so they can actually make money long term, not just short term hijacks. He's also a serial entrepreneur, so he's had multiple successful businesses that he's sold. We're going to be talking about what it was like to sell that business and how, if you do things correctly with Amazon, that's a business that you could sell as well. It's a fun conversation. We're going to dive deep into the tactics of what you can do and get some world-class strategies. So let's get into conversation. Today on the podcast, I have a special guest, and Adam with the wonderful accent. Are you there with me?
I am there. Great to be here, Spencer. Thank you.
Hey, it's good to have you here with me. And the reason why we've brought you on today is we often get questions from listeners that are wanting to know how to really step into the Amazon marketplace and to be able to leverage the physical product world without the headache of shipping their products and becoming a slave to the post office system. So we thought that you would be able to explain how the Amazon world works and use somewhat of a leverage system to help people get a quick start to that. So is that cool? We can dive into those conversations today.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, if our listeners don't already know who you are, can you give us a quick background so they can understand you, and then we'll start talking about the actual Amazon pieces?
Sure. So I would describe myself as, as we say in Australia, a dyed-in-the-wool entrepreneur. That means an entrepreneur to the bone. I sort of started really early, just, you know, as a kid. I was one of those kids that did paper rounds and washed cars and mowed lawns and all that stuff. And I started my first real business, I think, when I was 22 years old. Prior to that, I'd done a couple of sales jobs. I got recruited into Amway when I was 16. I think I lasted 6 months, but what I discovered was personal growth books, which was great. I think the first book they put me on was The Magic of Thinking Big, which was fantastic. But I started my first real business at 21. I'm 43 today. So I've been in business a little over 20 years. And I suppose the most recent businesses prior to Amazon that I've had a lot of businesses, and I was on a podcast yesterday, and I said, I'm actually more of an expert at failure than I am at success, because I've had more failures than successes, like most people. As you get older, the ratio seems to be moving towards you succeed more than you fail, which is good for the young listeners listening. But the last two companies, to give you a little bit of context, I had in Australia the first crowdfunding platform in the world. Before that, the term crowdfunding was even coined, before Kickstarter and all of that stuff, because we had a little provision within our legislation in Australia that allowed us to raise capital for entrepreneurs. And we grew that into a nice little business, and we raised over $100 million for early stage and startup entrepreneurs, which is very hard money to get, especially then, before the tech boom and so on. I eventually sold out of that company. And then the next thing I did for a complete change of scene is I moved to America and I started an animation company in Hollywood. So talk about a complete change of business. And I lived in the US for 5 years, nearly full time, and sold the company in 2015, I want to say. It flies by. And there we had some pretty awesome clients. We sold cartoons to corporate America. So we did work for McDonald's, MasterCard, Volvo, the World Bank, UNICEF, Cox Communications, a whole bunch of really big clients, and right place, right time with the right people. So, and then segueing into Amazon, about 2 years before I sold that company, I knew that I was going to sell it and I wanted to do something else on the side. And I, being new to America, I had not really understood Amazon, because Australians don't have Amazon. We have to go to Amazon.com and hardly anything ships to Australia. So we don't really understand it. When I got to America in my apartment building in Los Angeles where I was living, I saw these Amazon boxes out the front, and I was like, every single day. And it got me curious, and I bought a course about 5 years ago on how to build an Amazon business. And I started with one single product, and it went from there. And today it's a nice little business. So that's sort of the little background.
Wow, those are some pretty cool stories. So from growing those first businesses and selling them, let's touch on that for just a second. What was it like selling your first business?
I often say to entrepreneurs, Spencer, that selling a business, even if you don't do it, setting the goal of doing it is such a worthwhile process, because when you actually get somebody who's willing to write out a nice check and give it to you for something that you built from scratch, you learn the full arc of entrepreneurship. You learn what it takes to start, scale, build, systemize, prepare for sale, and then get paid. And being able to, a business that can be sold and a business that makes money are quite often two different things. So if you're listening and you want to learn more about that, a really great book that I read not long ago actually was called Built to Sell. It's a fantastic book that talks about what's necessary to actually build a sellable business. But it's life-changing too. And I wish somebody had tapped me on the shoulder earlier in my career and stressed the value of taking money off the table, because for most of my entrepreneurial life, I had no money. You know, I was always building businesses, reinvesting back into the businesses, and very rarely taking money off the table. And when you finally take money off the table and you go ahead and buy yourself a home and you get rid of the rent or mortgage payment in your life and stuff, it has a profound impact on you as a person, because like for my animation company, we had a six-figure overhead every month. On the first of the month, the sales stop counting. You've got to start again, and you know you're up for another six-figure bill. So that stressful cycle, you know, when you actually have taken some money off the table and you've got something to show for it, because most entrepreneurs who have been at it a while, all their friends in corporate jobs are starting to get ahead by the time they hit their 40s. And if you're still sitting there and you haven't taken anything off the table, you could start, you know, you feel really bad. So I'd really recommend entrepreneurs set that as a goal. And it's a very, very life-changing process to go through. Mm-hmm.
I totally agree. In fact, I sold my first adult type of, not saying like in the adult industry, but like when I was, you know, I had kid businesses like you, but like when I was an older person, I sold my first business. And so I know what you mean. And I've sold several since, and it's a wonderful feeling. It's great to grow it, and it feels even better to close it out and get a check.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's something that you really should experience and set a goal, because it forces you to have certain disciplines that many entrepreneurs don't have. Like people don't buy businesses that don't have their books in order, for example. People don't buy businesses where the taxes haven't been paid, et cetera. So, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs are just running on stress the whole time. And they also build businesses that are absolutely reliant on them, and therefore they're not really a business. So if you can build something that makes a profit after you not being in it, it redefines what you term as successful. So often entrepreneurs are in bad businesses, and the only reason the doors are still open is because they're working 80 hours a week and getting paid shitty money, you know? So it's important to sort of have a good look at that.
Absolutely. So if you've had the success of your first business, which was that crowdfunding, $100 million, and I'm not saying it sold for 100, but I'm saying a large volume business. And then you've got a animation company, and with an overhead of $100,000 a month, that means you've got a big team behind you. Mm-hmm. And now you decide to make this transition of going into Amazon. So what was it that made you decide, hey, I should kind of move platforms and go over to this marketplace?
Well, there's two things that I really started to think about as I got a little bit older and more experienced in business. Again, things I wish I'd thought about earlier. The first thing was that my entire career, I'd come up with ideas, mainly service-based businesses. So raising funds for early stage entrepreneurs, making cartoons for people. So things that I could either hire somebody to do or do myself. And while those are good businesses, when somebody writes a check out for a service, whether you're doing it or somebody else, they're paying for time. They're paying for your time or the time of somebody you've got to hire, train, and manage. When you go into the product space, and let's say I'm selling these pens, The time is in doing the research, creating my brand and whatever. And once you put it on Amazon, my life today is I wake up in the morning, I open up the Amazon seller app on my phone, and I see how much money I made overnight. And I just get sent a check every 2 weeks. And today my products are sold in 35 countries around the world with Amazon. So this money just keeps going and going and going. I just do what I want with my time. So time, as you get older, becomes more valuable because you have less of it. And the other thing that really attracted me to Amazon was that over my 20-year career in business, I've learned that timing and luck are two very, very important aspects of success. And I've actually managed to meet 5 billionaires in my life. And all of them, without exception, have identified timing and luck as critical to becoming a billionaire. Not that I want to be a billionaire, but the principle applies. And if you look at what's happening and you look at Amazon, who is quickly becoming the most valuable company in the world, I believe they will be shortly. And I think they'll be the first $1 trillion business. You know, they are disrupting not just one industry, but multiple industries at one time. And if you look at their growth numbers, you know, if you look at retail just for a second, 10 years ago, Amazon was worth 5% of the value of the top 10 American retailers that are publicly traded. So you're talking about Sears, Walmart, Nordstrom, all of those. Today, a decade later, Amazon's worth more than all of them combined, and their stock price of those top 10 retailers, only one of them is worth more today than it was a decade ago, and that's Walmart, who are only worth 2% more today than they were a decade ago, and Amazon's worth 1,900% more. So those are incredible numbers, but they're disrupting retail, and they're only just beginning because money's moving from brick and mortar to online at a rapid pace. And they're disrupting logistics, they're disrupting all kinds of things. So being in the right place at the right time is so important, because there's a lot of smart entrepreneurs that are struggling in bad businesses, and there's a lot of dumb people making a lot of money being in the right businesses. So you got to put yourself in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, that's actually really good points. There's a lot of things that we're gonna dive deeper into that you just covered. So you're talking about the timing, and sure, the best time to get into Amazon would have been years ago. The second best time is right now. So let's talk about the timing of the marketplace and what are the current challenges that are holding people back from actually jumping into Amazon Marketplace right now.
Well, in terms of timing, it's interesting. I watched an interview with Mark Lurie on Fortune TV about 6 months ago. And Mark is the guy who founded diapers.com, sold it to Amazon. Then he used that money to build jet.com, which he sold to Amazon's competitor, Walmart, for $3 billion last year. So he's kind of Amazon's worst nightmare, this guy. He's a very successful guy, you know, probably a billionaire now. And he said the reason that the timing is beautiful for getting into a marketplace like Jet or Amazon or into this space generally is that in the US, the online retail market is $300 billion. Of that, Amazon control $1 in $2. So every second dollar spent in America in online retail is spent on Amazon, which is just mind-blowing. But what he said was that by 2030, that $300 billion market will be a $1.5 trillion market. So over the next 15 years, it's going to go from $300 billion to $1.5 trillion. And now that's not just new money. That's money moving from brick and mortar to Amazon. 50% of it at the moment is going to Amazon. So I think your timing is actually still exceptional. Warren Buffett on Valentine's Day just last month sold all of his Walmart stock, $900 million worth of it. And when asked why he missed Amazon, he said, "I honestly think it was one of the worst misses of my career. And Jeff Bezos is possibly the smartest CEO I've ever come across in my career," which is heavy praise from someone like Warren Buffett. But on the flip side, when this kind of movement happens and this kind of these kinds of headlines roll out around the world, this week I've spoken to three journalists in Australia, leading financial journalists in Australia, the top newspapers. Australia's freaking out about Amazon coming. But everybody knows about Amazon. So with that comes competition, and particularly in the US where it's much more mature, and we've had some big marketed courses go through teaching people how to get rich on Amazon. you know, with that comes challenges. And the good news is that if you think a little bit counterintuitively, and you do, well, if you think, just period, if you think a little bit about the marketplace, there are still phenomenal opportunities to be had there. And I'm happy to dive into some of those points. But I've got students like my brother, for example, started 12 months ago. He had an engineering company. It was, I think they did about $7 or $8 million a year in revenue, 25 staff, had huge government clients. But the business was killing him. So he started on Amazon 12 months ago. Is doing six figures a month now, and he's only 12 months in. So there's still plenty of opportunity there, but you have to be a little bit counterintuitive and don't do what most of the mass marketed courses out there are teaching you, because that's the most dangerous thing you can do.
Okay. So I'm going to kind of hit the fast forward button on a few things for our guests so I can really get into the meat of the conversation. So with Amazon, there are two sides of it. There's what they call retail arbitrage, which is when people can go to a Costco or Walmart, purchase a product for $5, throw it on Amazon for $25 and make the spread. That's a way to be very busy and make a small amount of money. The real Amazon world is when you have your own products, which is what they call private label, or you have your own products created. So that's what I want to dive into so that our listeners can start to learn. And now you just alluded to certain courses teach to do X, Y, Z and to avoid what a lot of those courses teach. And I'm just trying to hit the fast forward button so we get into meat. A lot of those courses teach, hey, go into the supplements world because the spreads are so big. What they don't tell you is there is a lot of regulation and a lot of hoops to jump through with Amazon. I've owned a supplement company before. I'm saying this from experience. It sucks. But there's a good upside. So let's jump into the private label world of Amazon and talking about actually creating products, a brand, and all of those things.
Great. And that's a really salient point that you've raised. Just before I jump into that, just quickly one point that you raised there, which is really valuable about the arbitrage versus the white label. Most people understand McDonald's business model by now, and they know that McDonald's is actually where it is because they own the real estate under the restaurants. Mm-hmm. So if you're an arbitrage, you're really just owning the restaurant, whereas if you own the brand, you're owning the real estate, which means that as you create sales, you're also creating value to that brand. So you're earning cash flow from product, but you're also earning equity by building the value of the business, which you can sell to somebody else. If you don't own the products, you can never sell the thing. So if you're going to invest your time either way, you may as well invest it where you're going to get paid that second piece. But in terms of what you just touched on, that's at the very pointy end of what I talk to people about. So whenever somebody says, go to supplements, supplements are massive margins. They can be manufactured locally in the United States. They're fast to ship, they don't break, they pretty much don't go off. Here's all the great things about it. That's all true. But because that's so patently obvious, everybody's trying to do that. And in fact, Amazon announced last week that they are launching their own range of supplements because it has been dominated by great internet marketers for so long and it's such a massive business. So if you want to go into that kind of space, just know that wherever the margins are enormous and all those benefits are there, that's where the smartest people are going to be. I'm not the smartest person, so I don't want to go and compete with those people because it's too difficult. So to give you an example, the first product I sold, there's a metric when you dive into Amazon on every page of every product listing, you can go down the bottom, you'll find a line of information called the best seller rank, which tells you where that product ranks in the category that you're in. So behind you right now, you've got a Gibson guitar by the look of it. You could look at that and you would see it and say, okay, this is the 5,000th most popular music item in the musical section, right? And these courses taught people just go to the top 100 best sellers in Amazon, and there's plenty of people buying those products. But of course, if you point 20,000 people at the top 100 products across 30 categories, you've got too much competition. As Peter Thiel says, competition is for losers. And he has a whole thing around that. So the first product I launched actually ranked 55,000 in kitchen. Now, what bestseller rank tells you is the number of units that are being sold. But I don't know about you, Spencer, but in business, I don't care what somebody's turnover is. I care what their leftover is. I don't want to know what the best seller is. I want to know who's making the most money. Those are two different things. So at $55,000 in the home and kitchen, the product was $130, which again broke their rules of saying sell stuff under $30. So it was $140, and that product did $15,000 a month, which is not a lot of transactions, not a lot of sales. It was like two sales a day or something. And it netted me, because the margin was 40%, it netted me about $6,000 or $7,000 a month from a single product in a market that nobody was paying any attention to and still doesn't, because it's, you know, lowly ranked. It's just a boring high margin product that makes money every day. So just, you know, If you find a marketer out there that's hitting all your hot buttons and telling you and everybody else that it's easy and that you should go and do these things, just take a step back and a deep breath and say, well, how am I differentiated? Why is there not going to be 50,000 other people doing this? How much intelligence did it take to get into this niche?
You know, there's a book called, I think it's called Blue Oceans. I've got it in my library. And it's talking about going after those blue oceans, because if you're going into that competitive market, you have to outmarket and outsmart all of those people. And I am there with you. I can't outmarket and outsmart people. I just don't have it. So
it's called Blue Ocean Strategy.
There we go. Yeah, it's right there on my shelf. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day and I said, I think I stopped keeping up with technology when WhatsApp came out. I just gave up. I'm like, all right, I'm not learning WhatsApp. You can just, I'm done. And there comes a point where you can't keep up. And I've got a book coming out in a couple of months called Primed, Your Guide to Building a Thriving Amazon Business. And it talks about Amazon being a jungle and there being four types of animals predominantly. And one I talk about a lot are the monkeys. And the monkeys are the super active, Red Bull infused, swinging from vine to vine, watching the jungle and jumping down and creating hacks and headlines and, you know, those guys are really smart. A lot of those guys are selling courses on how to sell on Amazon, and they will outmarket me all day long. The other kind of animal I talk about is a peacock. And a peacock is somebody who develops a quality product with a beautiful design and packaging and photography in less competitive niches, but they dominate. And if you look at like Rolex watches, you know, Rolex watches are a peacock. People pay 50,000 times the price of a $50 watch for a $50,000 Rolex. It still tells the time, but there's a whole lot of brand and design and stuff that goes in behind it. So I sort of teach people to focus on a quality, visually differentiated product that is not competing on price, but is competing on other factors that are not so easily accessible. And when you do that, you find, you know, people sometimes say, you know, that guy who says he does 20 minutes a day on his business, that's complete BS. You know, I was interviewed by Web Retailer and the headline said, meet the laziest Amazon seller. And that was me with a seven-figure business doing 20 minutes a day work. And it's not BS, because my products are high margin, higher dollar. I have less customers, more money, and the products are great. So the emails I get are just to say, thank you so much. You're awesome. I don't get, you know, complaints and all the other stuff that goes along with just selling high volume of crap. So different business approach altogether.
Absolutely. So your products that you have, are you having them private label manufactured, or are you actually creating these out of thin air and having them personally manufactured for you?
I spent a lot of time in the early days going through catalogs. I literally started on Alibaba. So I put in what I was looking for and I got all these factories to send me their catalogs to look through. And I probably looked at, I don't know, 1,000 different types of this one particular product, which is a product that's been around for thousands of years. It's not new. It's an old, old, old product. And I was looking for a really unique design that I could photograph beautifully so that when it was up on Amazon or when the ad popped up, people would go, whoa, that looks cool. You know how like sometimes on Facebook now you've got these product companies that have these really cool products you've never seen before? I bought some earplugs to make things silent the other day, and they're just beautiful engineered metallic earplugs to completely block sound. So I looked for things that have that visual arresting effect, because Amazon is much like a dating site. When you put in what you're looking for, you instantly scan photos, and if they are a really attractive person and the photo is beautiful, they're definitely getting your attention. Same with Amazon. So So I looked for products off the shelf. I didn't tweak or change things initially because my products are so simple, but I looked for beautifully designed, unique stuff. And now I have a range of about 14 products that are all showstoppers. That when you look at them, they're very unique. And I said to my suppliers, show me the weird stuff. Show me the stuff that nobody else is interested in, the odd shapes and sizes and things like that. So yeah, I have really visually differentiated products that are high quality. And I have a little secret which I'll share with you, and I share with all my students, is when I deal with the Chinese, most people I call it the Bali mentality, because when everyone goes to Bali, Indonesia, they negotiate barter for everything over cents. You know, they're buying a meal for $5 and they're trying to get it for $4 or something, you know. So when you're dealing with the Chinese, price is not the most important thing. If you're buying something for $3, what difference does it make? Because $3, you should be selling it for 5 times on Amazon, so 15 roughly. So if you pay $3.50 for it, or $3.60, which is 20% more, it's not going to change your life, right? You're still going to make money, and you could probably charge $16 instead of $15 for that extra bit. So I say to the Chinese suppliers, what if I paid you 20% more for this product? What could you do to make it amazing? Could you make the handle a different color? Could you make the base thicker? Could you make, what could you do? You're the one that makes these all day, every day. This is your life. If you could make the dream version of this, what would it be? And immediately the Chinese are confused because they think there's a trick. But what you're really doing is you're reducing your workload on the back end. You're differentiating your product. You're creating a life that you're going to love when you built the business as opposed to hate. These little things make a massive difference when you go on Amazon, which is a transparent platform where people are going to review the products and it's competitive. So these are just some of the ways I think. Everything I do, I try to be counterintuitive, but at the same time, don't overcapitalize into niches where those things that you're investing in are not important.
You know, you make a really good point. The Chinese, a lot of people are trying to fight over pennies, and they're all about respect and relationships. And a hidden piece, and you didn't mention, I'm sure we can dive into this, is that if you have a good relationship with your suppliers, they'll go through and they'll source the packaging and take care of that for you, which alleviates so much time and headache and other costs. What other types of things have you seen that are counterintuitive, like the packaging relationships with your manufacturers or others that have really made an impact on your business?
Well, look, the number one most important relationship, if you're going to get into the products business, is absolutely your relationship with your supplier. No question. So what people do, they go to Alibaba and they put out a RFQ, request for quotation. You can just put in Alibaba, AliSource Pro, and what you can do, it's a free service. I think it's sourcing.alibaba.com. And you can put up what you want and all the suppliers come to you. And when that happens, the natural response is, oh, I'm king of the world. I've got all these people approaching me. I'm going to find the cheapest one, and then I'm going to find the one I think is the best, and then I'm going to try and use this cheap quote to bring the best guy down to that price. That's how people think. I mean, let's be honest.
It's crazy.
So what you're basically doing there is saying, well, I don't respect the fact that you speak better English, that your presentation's clearly better. I don't respect any of that. I just want you to lower the value of what you've just given me. And all of my friends that have 7-figure businesses or better don't do that. They the last thing they're looking at is the price. They're looking at how clearly when they write an email, it's like sometimes they're writing, it's very hard to understand them. That's a hard business relationship to nurture. Whereas somebody who's got great English skills and is highly responsive, when things go wrong, and they will, it's your supplier in China, because think about it, your stuff sitting in the other side of the world where you've never been, and it's got to get to somewhere else. Like as an Australian, where I am half the time, I don't touch any of my own products. So I'm 100% relying on these people. And I've got such a level of respect and trust and stuff with my suppliers now that she goes, the girl that I deal with, she goes and takes photos of herself packing the boxes with her friends, and then photo at the train station, a photo of them having dinner after they've all packed my boxes. And, it's a real working relationship. They go to all the trade shows in China. They WhatsApp me from the trade show, say, hey, Adam, I found this product. It's really crazy. We think you'll like it, But that one relationship is so critical, and so many people get a big head when they start getting supplier quotes and start treating them as if they're not got the same needs that you have. You want respect, you want to make a profit. And yes, the Chinese are going to try and make as much money out of you and screw you every which way, but you still have to understand that they're people. Mm-hmm. And if you can build that relationship, it's worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are other surprise that can happen when you're nickel and diming, meaning that supplier can all of a sudden see your momentum and try and compete with you directly on Amazon. And now Amazon's actually competing with a lot of sellers directly. Whereas having a good relationship, they become a part of your team and they actually look out for you.
Yeah, they absolutely do. I mean, my supplier now texts me if somebody else inquires about buying the products that I sell. What do you want me to tell them, Adam? because my business is worth more to them than their business, you know, at this point, because there's a newbie who's maybe researched and stumbled across my product going, oh, can I buy, 100 of them? Meanwhile, I'm buying like containers, They're not going to risk the containers for somebody who's, this stuff goes on behind the scenes. Don't think it doesn't happen. And if, let's say you want to sell guitars and, you start nickel and diming somebody on a guitar, say, sure, Spencer, we'll match that price for you. No problem. And then you get a guitar and then there's all sorts of stuff they've done to that thing to fit your budget. Mm-hmm. And then you turn around and go, oh, no, this thing's crappy. And you go, well, you asked for the crappy price. What do you, Because they're the people that have spent their entire life building guitars. I mean, what do you know? How would you know if the laminate they changed out or the glue's a cheap glue or the knobs are a lighter? You know what I mean? Like, you don't know. So you don't want to be try to realize you're the amateur in the bullpen.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, Amazon is this fantastic beast to be dealing with. Now, I think as a good segue right before we end up would be talking about taking your Amazon products and also establishing that brand and what you do for that as far as building out a good-looking website and having that brand and that established piece. Is that something that you also focus on?
I do, because my objective, Spencer, is to sell the business, and I'm selling my main Amazon brand later this year. I'm prepping it right now. And so just a few real specific tips for your listeners. I don't name anything I do anymore. The products, a company, my book that's coming out, I didn't name it. So I go to Squad Help, SQADhelp.com, and I get them to name stuff. So it's a crowdsourcing site. So I've got this cool product, a selfie stick. I want to name it. Who can give me the best selfie stick name? Because you're like $300, you'll get 800 entries of people who are like masters at naming stuff. Okay, so that's the first thing. Then what I do is I invest in a 99 Designs logo contest for my brand. And I don't cheap out. I don't go for the $300 option. I go for the $1,000 option because I understand there's 30,000 designers. Some of them are good. Many of them are just average trying to make money in the Philippines. But if you put up a $1,000 contest for a logo that you're going to have forever and you make the contest blind so nobody else can see it, because if you're a good designer, why would you want the other designers seeing your work? Because all they're going to do is they're going to see your work. You're going to rate it 5 stars. All the other designers go, oh, that's what he likes. And then they just do copy versions of that. So I make it blind. I pay top dollar. And recognize that the best designs in a 99 design contest are going to come in the last 24 hours because the best designers are going to work, hold back to the very end and then put it in. So there's absolutely the least possible chance that somebody's going to copy their idea. So I use 99 designs. I invest in all that stuff. I buy incredible photos. I actually own a photography company now that specializes in product photography for online sellers called sellerphoto.com because that's been a big part of our success is incredible photography, not good photography, not great, but really good photography. Mm-hmm. So those types of things I think are practical and invest in your brand, have a good e-commerce site. I get every other week, I get an inquiry from retailers around the world wanting to stock my products now. I recently had the largest, fastest growing marketplace for luxury items approach me. They have 14 million members. They want to showcase my products on there because they've seen my website, they've seen my results on Amazon, they love the photography and the differentiated products. So the level of opportunity that comes to you when you're not focused on being the cheapest. Just remember, there's 10 million millionaires in America. So there's a lot of wealthy people. My products are double the price of every other product on page one. double. The next nearest competitor is half my price and then cheaper again, and I'm on page one. And Amazon loves me because they make twice as much commission from me than they do on the others, and I convert like crazy because the products are unique and photographed beautifully.
This conversation, the snippet you just had with me, is something I've never heard on other podcasts. And the reason why is most, and I'm just sharing this with our listeners because I really want you to hone in on this, listeners. Most people that are sharing Amazon stuff are reformed internet marketers. Like they got successful, but they actually don't know how they got successful. And so what they're doing is they're focusing on this bottom level of these quick wins or whatever that may be. What you're talking about is very high level, a big business. And several of my friends and myself, we sold businesses. So if you're looking to do Amazon, play at the highest level possible. Get a great Shopify site. Pay the extra money to have wonderful photos. Pay the extra money to get the perfect designs. It makes a difference, huge difference.
Yes. In the valuation. I mean, just to give you an example, and you would know this, when you sell a business like an Amazon business, I have a friend who recently sold for 8x, so 8 times his earnings. Now, if you have a brand that people see it, let's say you only make $200,000 a year. It's not that much on Amazon net profit. That means if you sell it for 8 times earnings, it's $1.6 million. Is it worth having a logo? Now, 8's probably very, very high. Like I would expect maybe to get 3 or 4 for my business, but let's say 3. Those little investments, when put in the context of an exit that you might shoot to do in 3 years, you know, it's chicken feed. You know, nobody's going to pay big money for something that looks like rubbish, you know, so make the investment early.
Exactly. You know, what a wonderful conversation. I think this is a good place for us to segue into the final question, which is, what should we have talked about that we didn't cover?
Oh, look, I could talk about this stuff all day, but my word of thought to people is that just be aware that, you know, when you're looking to buy information, there's two types of people out there that sell information. There's business people like what I'm talking about, and there's not, frankly, a lot of us. It's mostly marketing-minded people, internet marketers that are experts who sit down and write at the top of the page for their business plan, how do I sell as many courses as I can about Amazon? That's the outcome. Whereas at the top of my piece of paper is, if I'm going to do this, how do I set up our students in the best possible place for success? How do we set correct expectations about budget, timelines, differentiation, how they need to build a real business? And when we started doing that, people who are the info marketers who we hired to teach us how to sell our course said, Adam, you can't tell people it's going to be a year before they start making any money. I'm like, but that's the truth. And they said, well, nobody's going to buy your course. Nobody will buy that course. You know, and we use ClickFunnels for our marketing. And, you know, we got into their double comma club selling the course, which is where you do over $1 million a year in sales of the course in the first year, because people could handle it. People are tired of, you know, of being told lies. They want to be told the truth. Our refund rate's less than 2%, which is almost unheard of in an info marketing business, because people have generally been to the circus and seen the strings at this point. But they still want to make reliable income. And so when I got into this space, I was like, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do it on my terms, where we tell people the truth, we set people up properly, and we're going to do good in the process. And we do a microloan through Kiva for every course that somebody buys. I've just sponsored our first blind drive in Bali, Indonesia. So we provide a free eye care to 2,000 villages in Java. I'm going to be there on site, and we've got the surgeons and everybody paid for. About 200 blind people are going to be healed in June as a result of free cataract surgery that we paid for. So we're a company that's doing good and setting people up well, and we're having a really nice time with it. And it's there's so much to talk about, but basically think about, be logical. Don't get your emotions run away with you. There are still amazing opportunities. The irony is that with all these people looking for hacks, it creates an opportunity for those who are looking at quality. Mm-hmm. And that's where I play.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, the world of quality, there's always going to be space for anyone that's interested in doing that. Now, our listeners, to learn more from Adam, to say thanks, you can go to his website, which is reliable.com. Education. Now, I'm not an affiliate. I'm having Adam on because I wanted to have a genuine conversation and help out. So that's why we're doing this today. I'm not getting compensated for it. I just wanted to be able to present a genuine person that can help you listeners if you're looking to get into this. Now, on top of that, how else can our listeners just give you a quick thanks? Is it Twitter or Facebook? What's best for you?
I don't have Twitter. Probably just the best is to send an email if you want to me, if you'd like. It's adam@reliableit.education. Not a real tricky email address. That will actually get to me personally, not through my assistant. So just adam@reliableit.education if you have questions or you want to ask me anything. Or just go to the website. We have a free course which just gives people an opportunity to learn from me. I've got 4 free videos where I take you inside my home on the beach, show you some of the products that I would or wouldn't sell, and I explain why, and I explain the mathematics of Amazon. They're professionally produced, they're free, just so people can get a feel and see if they like me and like what I'm talking about. And then if they want to buy the program, they can, entirely up to them. And if not, they'll learn a lot in the process, and they can go to our Facebook page. We've got a public facing page and we put up information there as well.
Great. Well, thanks so much for spending time with us today and explaining more about Amazon. And listeners, say thanks to Adam. Take a look further if this is something that you're interested in.
Thank you, Spencer.
Take care.
Bye.